Hello again, everyone. This is Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network, and this is the Green Lines Podcast. Every one of these podcasts is produced to help you live an abundant life. Jesus said, "I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." I want that, don't you? The Lord has led us to produce over 1,100 episodes of this show with interviews from authors, pastors, teachers, business owners, and even noted musicians and worship leaders. All of this is done with a prayer and belief that we're not to live a life of scarcity. Let me say that again. We are not to live a life of scarcity. We're to live a life of abundance every day of our life. Live in abundance. That's what this show's about. And today's episode features a guest who offers a new perspective on abundant living. Eric Gilmore is my guest today. He's an author, musician, and calls himself an itinerant speaker. He's so much more than that. Travels domestically and internationally and local to the Orlando area, does a lot of ministry around this area. Their hearts are to bring the church into a deeper experience of God's presence in their daily lives. And I think that's what I'm going to say to you about this podcast. Expect to hear about developing a deeper experience with the Lord. I asked him two or three different ways how to do that. How can we get closer in our prayer closet? Why do we think about so many other things besides the presence of the Lord there in that place we come to pray and petition the Lord, where the answer might be to just be, to be in the presence of the Lord? Listen to this great man of God, Eric Gilmore, as he describes being in the presence of the Lord. First of all, let's just get right to it and welcome Eric Gilmore to the Green Lines Podcast. Brother, welcome aboard.
Thank you so much. I am honored to be on the show.
Well, you've been doing a lot. And, you know, I see also that you like to take pictures. I'm also a photographer. I don't like to say that in public because I don't want to do weddings. I don't want anybody to know that I could do their wedding free.
Understood.
There is so much pressure to weddings anyway. I don't want it for $100,000. I don't want to shoot a wedding. But that put me out in the woods with my camera and a couple of birds, and I'll be just fine. Sound familiar?
Yes, sir.
You like to shoot outside, I notice. You do a lot of filming at the golden hour, and you understand lighting is better at that time of day. So what's your favorite shots to be taking?
Well, normally I'm taking pictures of my kids and video as well. So I really just enjoy that golden hour because it just makes everything pop.
Yeah, that's the key. Why don't you tell everybody what time of day that is so it'll help them with their iPhone photos?
Well, it's the last hour before the sun sets, the golden hour, yeah.
Yeah, just so it's not bright in the sky.
Yes, sir.
And there is a correlate early in the morning, but it's not quite as good as golden hour.
I agree.
You agree?
Yes, sir.
Well, now that we've talked photography, let's talk about your music. How did the Lord get you involved in doing the kind of music you do and what you put up? What's your goal when you sit down to worship and produce that music for YouTube?
Well, I would go to pray and would look for something to pray with or to, and I couldn't really find anything that didn't crescendo. I couldn't find anything that wasn't busy, so I sat down and said, I'm going to make my own. And so I started to just make quiet tracks to pray to by myself. And then I shared them and people loved them.
Yeah, they do. How long have you been doing it?
Oh, I probably released my first track back in 2008 or something like that.
My goodness. So that's a long time. You've been real dedicated to it. Well, it's very easy to pray. I mean, if you weren't in the mood to pray, if you go over there and look for Eric, spell Gilmore, G-I-L-M-O-U-R, correct?
Yes, sir.
Go over there to YouTube and find some of his tracks and just play them, and you'll get in the mood to pray because it just calls it out, and it's easy to press in. I don't want to insult you with this. I call it white noise, but it's worship music. It's what I want to worship to, but it's not noise at all. Music is pleasing to the ear.
Yes, sir.
And your music is very pleasing, and I can almost see you up on a platform playing it, you know, as I worshiped with you. And do you ever sing? Do you sing on any of the tracks?
Yeah, there's a few that actually have vocals on them. I used to be on praise teams. I traveled with Ron Canole for a while. I was on the Browns Revival worship team for my school thing. So I've been singing. My dad was a worship leader all my life. Still is to this day. So,
and where is he?
He is at a church here in Oviedo area. I think it's went through a couple of name changes. I think it's called Victory Church now. I'm not sure. He also directs the choir for Jesus Image.
Oh, great. Those guys are on fire. They're getting a lot done for Jesus.
Yeah, they really are.
So tell us about your journey. I know you were raised to love the Lord, and that sometimes that's the hardest script to have before you, is to be raised in it and not know any other life. And I know I can speak to this as a teacher at ORU, where I saw students the first time they left the house. They came to college and they wanted to play and find out what else there was to this life. But most of them were just solid and steady, knew who they were. And the ORU bubble was about like being at home. You know, it was pretty strict. So tell us about your journey, brother, and how you came to have your own fire.
Yeah, I'll condense about 30 years into to a couple minutes. My whole life, my dad was a pastor. I grew up in the church, knew a lot about God, but I did not know God. God poured out his spirit in 1996, but I had gotten saved in 1992. In 1995, actually, God sent his spirit in Brownsville, Pensacola, and there was such an outbreak of God that buses of people were going up there. And they were coming back radically changed. I mean, exuberant in worship, marriages healed, bodies healed.
Yes.
Glowing with the glory of God. And my parents tricked me in a sense. They said, you can bring your girlfriend if you'll go. And I went. And when I got there, I could feel the tangibility of God. And I got right with God that day and filled with the Spirit. And that's when everything began. 1996 was when everything really took off for me. Though I got born again in 1992, it was 96. Everything really, really went crazy for me. So, and then from there, you know, I worked for Reinhard Bunke back in 2004, and then started our ministry in 2012-ish. And so we just want to see people experience the love of Jesus.
You've been exposed to some really authentic ministry, so that's helped you.
Yeah, yeah.
The battle that we have to do so often are young people coming out of homes where they didn't see it lived. Mm-hmm. And they had bad models, or they had a church pastor that fell, or whatever. You know, if that happens to you at the wrong age, it can really affect you and your walk. So obviously you had really good role models, and you were able to connect to your own ministry very quickly.
Yes, sir. I'm grateful for the heritage and the providence that God has guided our lives with.
Yes. Well, I'm just glad to know you and know about your work and how great you're doing. Tell us about the new book you've got out. I know the title, Behold Thy King Cometh Meek. And as we were talking about in our pre-show interview, this is a great week to be talking about. We're in Holy Week as we're doing this interview, a few days away from Good Friday. And Behold Thy King Cometh Meek. So what inspired this book? How is it different from others like it? What did the Lord say through you? And tell us why we should read it.
Well, for me personally, the revelation that Jesus gives of himself really sticks out to me. For instance, only one time in the Bible does Jesus give a self-description of himself. And it is Matthew 11, you know, 28. He says, I am meek.
Yes.
This right there is a quality that he's revealing to us of himself that I think is a lot of times missed and not understood. And so I wanted to see Christ as he revealed himself and then receive him as that, so that I might be able to walk that out as well. So this book is about the meekness of Jesus and how humility is God's favorite thing. When a man goes low before him, this is why he raises up those that go down low. And so Behold Thy King Cometh Meek is focused on, this is Christ's nature and he desires it to be ours.
Well, that's a good word, brother. And I think the more we can understand that, what would we look for in your book as a takeaway? How do we help to understand meek as we live it today? Why aren't we more meek? How about that, brother?
Well, I would say that the natural inclination of man is self-exaltation. And so when Christ came, he came to save us from ourselves. He came to save us from the poison of pride and to give to us his own humility. As Andrew Murray said, let us flee to Christ until we are clothed with humility. Yes. I think this is the key, coming to Jesus, recognizing we are insufficient and he is all sufficient. And to me, it is the essence of what worship is. Worship is the dethronement of self and the enthronement of God. So to me, I think this is the problem of humanity, is that we don't put God where he belongs.
That's a good word. So isn't that our life? Isn't our life all about priority and setting wrong priorities? We don't, you know, that seems to me to be the biggest weapon that evil has today, is just to keep us distracted with busyness, even give us, like, stay out of the way of our missions, of our work, because if he keeps throwing things at us, we can't do any of them well, and we're of none effect. We're the biggest enemy that we can be to that is that deep work concept of getting focused on one thing, do one thing, and work real hard at being focused. And that's an enemy of evil. What do you think?
I agree. I mean, the scriptures tell us God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. This should be very important to us. If we think of God resisting something, that pride should be something that we really want to resist in our own lives.
Amen. So you've written over 30 books. Is this your best? Are you most excited about this book, or do you have another favorite?
Well, these are really booklets. I have a whole booklet series, and this is the most recent booklet, but I have many books that are actual large content. And I would say that Enjoying the Gospel is probably my favorite book right now that I've written. But this new pamphlet is alive to me because it's what God's doing in my life right now, cutting back the growing pride of life.
Yeah. Well, it's like when I'm asked, what's your favorite sermon? My answer is always the next one.
That's a good word.
The one I'm about to preach. So the book you've just written is your favorite for now. Then you write the next one. And you can get it on Amazon already, right? You've got it ready to release on Amazon?
Yes, sir.
It's ready to go? Mm-hmm. Good. So what's next for you? What's down the road? How have you come out of COVID? And what are you trying to do now that it's relaxed a little bit? We hope it stays this way. What's on your agenda? Where are you headed?
Well, we are itinerant, so I travel full-time, but I am a part of Nations Church here, the new church plant that Daniel Kalinda did.
Yes.
Which has been wonderful, by the way, explosive.
I hear about you having a setter.
Yeah.
Thursday, yeah. Friday night. One night recently you did, because I know somebody went there.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. How did that bless you?
It was good. I was in Iowa, but so I'm there when I can be.
I understand.
But when COVID hit, everything went virtual, and we started to do things, a heavy emphasis on virtual. So we started a mentoring program online called Adoration Mentoring International. That's been a huge thing for us. We meet on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m.
Good. Do you know John Matarazzo?
No, I do not.
No, he goes there, and I just wondered if you knew him. He worships. He's a guitar player on the worship team. He's on and off, so you probably recognize him when you saw him. But he's one of our guys here at Charisma, and just thought you might know him.
Oh, there's so many people there.
I know. It keeps growing like crazy. This is a brand new work. I mean, it started in the streets, literally. What a way to start a church. Go out there and build your church with brand new people. They didn't take anyone out of any church. They just went out and got down there in the middle of Orlando, downtown, and just got people all saved.
That's true. Scott McNamara is an evangelism master. He's the director. He's outstanding.
Well, and it seems like the Lord really sent you all mature Christians from across the country who loaded up a truck and the U-Haul and moved and said, we're coming down here to help you save souls. And you've been surrounded by people that have the call on their life to, they're just after souls. They're just there to evangelize.
Yes, sir. I think
it's no great surprise with Daniel being the pastor.
Right. I think the final count at the end of the year was over 1 million people last year, 12 months, over 1 million people received Christ in 1 year. That's with all the gospel crusades and the outreaches.
That's That's above average, brother. It's very Kalinda-like.
Yes, very much.
He just doesn't stop. He's go, go, go. He is an amazing minister.
He really is.
But you also have a School of His Presence. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? What are you doing with it?
These are traveling days where we teach people how to get quiet, and we sit with them all day long. It's 8 hours, and we just kind of talk through and spend time with the Lord together. So it's to teach us that the presence of the Lord is the only school there is. So if we don't spend time in His presence, there's no discipleship. It is the root of what Christianity is spending time with Jesus. And so these are traveling schools that we teach people how to walk in and spend time in.
So it's not online. You literally go somewhere and produce the school?
Yes. There is an online version called Enjoying His Presence eCourse. But the...
How do we get to it?
It's sonshipcourses.com. All our e-courses are on there.
Okay.
But it's called Enjoying His Presence, and it's an online version, a lot shorter. But the in-person is my favorite.
So, Pastor, coach us a little bit. Tell us, I would say that a clear majority of Christians have a lot of trouble with pressing into His presence for reasons we've already discussed. We're just too busy. And I don't know if we can ever shut it down. Folks, once we've got that, yes, we can. But it doesn't come without some travailing, and some initial praying to get to that place where God hears our voice and He takes it seriously. Get us to that place where you can give us some coaching and some tips on what are we missing? Why do you do it so easily, so frequently, so much of your lifestyle? I can spend 5 minutes with you and know that you've been with the Lord. It's so obvious. I want that. I want to spend, and again, I'm representing my audience, saying to you, how do we do that, brother? What are we missing?
I would quote Thomas Merton to start off. He said, "The plague of the prayer closet is to be there yet not present." So this is what happens. People that do spend time with God do everything but adore the Lord. We have our minds on this, trying to get God to look at stuff instead of just looking at God. I feel like that's the root of the issue, is that adoration. Putting God above all things, above what you want from Him, above what you need, above yourself. That's the key to experiencing God. Adoration seems to open up the receptivity of the soul. So I feel like that's the major missing piece in people's lives, is instead of looking into His eyes, we settle with just looking in His direction.
Wow, it's a big difference. That's a good word. That'll preach. That's a full sermon right there. So I look at you and think, by nature, you're a quiet guy, that you're going to be among the last to talk in a group of 100. You're not going to have much to say, and when you have something to say, it'll be short and powerful and probably rock the room like no one else did with what you have to say. But have you always had this gift of being able to press in? When you were right with the Lord and you knew that you were right with the Lord, have you always been able to press in? Has it been a gift for you?
I was born again in a really unique fashion. The Brownsville Revival was a presence of the Lord.
That's a big one. Yeah.
It's where I met Him. I met Him in an intense burning. It's like Leonard Ravenhill said, if you're born in the fire, you're never satisfied with the smoke. And so that's what happened to me. I was swept up in a revival, and I became addicted to the way it feels when I give God all my attention.
Well, addiction is a great word when used in context of the cross. I've read it as a sales and marketing teacher and for a lot of years at ORU and other places in my career. I've taught about the similarity between a very high level salesperson and an addict. An addict of any substance will not stop. They don't know what no is. They have no possible way of understanding the word no when they're looking for what they're looking for. And they don't care if the door's closed, if it shuts on its foot, doesn't matter. They're going to find what they're looking for. And if we had that kind of pursuit, the pursuit of an aggressive seller who must win today, must sell encyclopedias, which we don't sell anymore, but they're out there to sell. That's why I picked it. They're out there to sell something, and they're addicted to that feeling, that win, that notion that let's just give them the benefit of the doubt that they're selling something they really believe in, and they're going to do everything they can to get that person with that product in their hands. Well, let's talk to the evangelist in you and say, you know, you want to see souls saved more than you want to probably have lunch or dinner. Doesn't matter what's next on your to-do list. Let's just talk this person into heaven and talk to them about the cross, talk to them about the good news, the gospel, and share with them until they're persuaded. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, that's really good. I would say that in addition to preaching the gospel to the lost, I really feel strong to preach the gospel to the church.
Come on.
I feel like the gospel is neglected and moved past many times, and that's the reason why the spiritual life is suffering in many people's lives, is because the gospel itself is not the foundation of what we're doing. We're trying to add, almost strengthen the verdict that Christ gave by how we do stuff. Instead of, like John Wesley said, look only to the power of his spirit and the merits of his son.
Good word. You're loaded with real good preaching today. The anointing's on you, brother. So I got to go back to this core question.
Sure.
And I think you've talked around it. I think you're going to punch me in the nose in a minute and be able to really connect with my listeners. And that's with this, that they're crying out to you, Pastor, help me to press in. What am I missing? I sit there quietly in my prayer closet. I read scripture. I pray the Lord's Prayer. I pray other prayers that I know. And I just can't get other thoughts out of my head. The race of the day that's ahead of me is rushing through my head. Yesterday's going through my head. My to-do list is running through my head. How do I stop it? How do I hear the voice of the Lord in that state when I'm really trying? I'm making the heart effort to try. What's missing?
I would say self-consciousness is the biggest block to God consciousness. And so a lot of times people go and they sit there in their own self-consciousness and they label things God, but it's really just their self-consciousness manifest in a different way. But to worship, to truly worship, is to forget ourselves. And in this, we find God. I remember reading from The Prayer Life by David McIntyre. He said, some men will lean more upon their knees than upon their Christ. But he says, when a person really prays, he forgets prayer and sees his God. I feel like that's one of the biggest issues, is we won't get out of our own way and just put him where he belongs, above all things, above all powers, above all angels, above all, you know, potentials, all the things we want from him. I think some people can't even touch God because they won't let go of something they want from him.
That's good. So could I conclude or summarize and put in other words that the more I don't recall anything, the closer I have become to dying to self and really already in that place of worship where really he's all I can think about. I don't even know the time has passed. I don't know what time it is or what time I should not be doing this, but I'm so captivated by his presence that wow. I'm not writing a to-do list or wishing I was out doing it. Is that close?
Ooh, captivated by his presence. What a statement. That's it.
And when we do that, we don't have to worry about not thinking about something. Is that true? I mean, I'm looking for help here, Pastor.
I think you're nailing it right on the head.
All right. Well, you've done so much. I want to hear from you about how people can connect with you, a website, besides finding you on YouTube, which we won't really connect with you. We'll connect with your great leadership of personal worship time. And I'll tell you, I haven't thought about it, but that'd be a good thing to put on my laptop, bring in the prayer closet, and just turn on that worship time and really just soak it in and just allow myself to drift into Jesus.
Yes, I agree. Sonship International is the name of our ministry.
Okay.
And our website is sonshipintl.org, and all of our stuff is there. Our books our music, our e-courses, the mentoring program that we have. Mm-hmm. All of that is available there if people want to connect with us in any way.
And if someone would like to have you in their church, that's where to find you?
Oh, yes, sir. Booking is also on that site.
Right. And tell me just a little bit about your family before we wrap up. How old are your children?
My oldest is 16, Madison Tate. Okay. And my youngest is 11, Leah Ashlyn. They're wonderful. And my precious wife, we married 18 years. She's the love of my life.
Well, I hope so. It sounds like you're doing things the right way and you have your priorities right. And you're just waiting for the next assignment from the Lord to pick it up and go do it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'd like to hear more about your schools. And we ought to probably do a show sometime and just sort of simulate a school.
I would love that.
We can't, anyway, maybe we can carve out even a little bit more time to do that and just maybe simulate it and give everybody an idea, promote it a little bit, talk about it. If you'd like to do that, maybe that's the right thing to do. We teach everything else over on podcasts. Why not teach how to press in, you know, let you be you, and we'll just be quiet and let you show us.
I would love that.
That would be something I think would really bless our audience. So if you're listening and you've heard that and you want us to do it, write into Charisma Podcast Network. Let us know that you heard us and that you'd like to do that. And we, you know, in the right time and the right place, I bet we can pull that off because Eric is willing. You heard him. But we've also got to fit into his schedule and all of our schedules. But I just feel led that would be a good thing. It'd be a good thing to do because it's a teaching. And part of a podcast network is to be a group of people who teach. Mm. You agree?
Yes, sir.
So close us with a scripture. You've quoted some great ones, but leave us with a scripture and a thought for moving forward into this relationship with the Lord that's at a higher place. Help us to come up higher and start us with a verse to do that with.
Yeah, I'd probably go with the classic Jeremiah 29:13. In that day, when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. So I would say undivided hearts is what see the Lord.
So let's take a test on the way outside of our closet. Put a little sign up on my door to check. Did you seek me with all of your heart today?
That's a good one.
That would be a good test for me, because then I need to go sit back down and try harder. Did you seek me with all your heart, or were you seeking your to-do list, trying to remember everything you have to get done? Brother, it's just the battle we fight. It is very 2020-ish, and you know, it's not always like that for me every day. I have my moments, I have my hours, and sometimes too many hours pass, I don't even realize how much time I've done it. But I want more of that.
Yes, sir.
Brother, it's been such a pleasure to interview you, to get to know you, to be blessed by your presence. What a powerful man of God you are, how you represent the kingdom with grace and humility. You're all that. You're what you've asked us to do. You practice what you preach. I really like that in you. It's a nice concept.
Well, I'm really honored to be on the show. So thank you so much for your kind words.
The book again, and I know you don't like that, but I'm going to do it anyway. The name of the book is Behold, Thy King Cometh Meek. You just heard a meek man. Not a weak man, not one who's not strong, but a very strong man that knows what it means to be humble and meek. His name is Eric Gilmore. Connect with him. Find him on YouTube. Find him on the websites we've given you. And I really strongly recommend that you have see if you can get a hold of that class. Be a part of learning that process and look for the school of his presence. Doesn't that sound great? That's the kind of school I want a PhD from. I'm going to press in. Eric, thank you so much for your time. Hug your family. Keep your house right so that everything else works well, brother.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
All right. Thank you. God bless you. You've been listening to the Green Lines Podcast. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. On behalf of my faithful producer, Adley, who's been with me since show number one, we want to say to you that Jesus came that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. And I'll tell you, if you haven't heard yet how to live an abundant life, why don't you just listen to this podcast again, and you'll hear everything you need to know about abundant living. My guest blessed me today, as I hope he blessed you. Eric Gilmore, God bless you and your ministry.